Chapter 6 of Revelation. Listening time is approximately 18 minutes. Chapter 6 in our outline.
Chapter 6 on the introduction. Remember the scroll? So we have the beginning of the
scroll is going to be opened, and it can be opened only by the Lord. John eat it and it was sweet and it became sour. Because he's seen all the things that were coming up. Yes, the Lord is glorious, and salvation, that's the sweet part. But the sour part is there's going to be this terrible wrath and destruction of the earth.
So that brings us to the seal number 1, which is verses 1 and 2.
Then I saw the Lamb that had opened the first of the 7 seals, and I heard one of the 4 living creatures say in a voice that sounded like thunder, "Come." I looked and there was
Let's just take a look at the imagery. There's a lot of imagery here. We have a picture of what animal? Who's the Lamb?
Jesus.
He's the one opening this up. And so what came out of that? Now, who are these living creatures? We studied them before. We call them what? Starts with an S. The seraphim. Remember, they're the ones with the 6 wings, 3 pair of wings, and have the eyes. They're around the throne with the 24 elders.
So that's where this is being opened. The answer to B is, who is this?
The white horse and rider. White is symbolic of what?
Purity.
Purity and something else. When somebody went into battle at the days of horses, they took 2 horses with for the general, the head person. They took a black horse and a white horse, and in the battle he rode black. If he was victorious, he came out riding a white horse.
Victory.
And they could see down there. So the white horse is a symbol. It can be purity and all that, but it more is victory. We know about the horse, but we want to know about this rider. Do you have any idea yet about the rider? Well, look at the things I put down there, and then look at the second seal as well. So what's going on here? White horse represents victory. So who is this rider? We got to find out who the rider is. Some Bible teachers teach us Jesus on his return. Well, he is pictured as coming on the white horse, but that's later in Revelation. This is the tribulation. Who is trying to imitate Christ?
Satan.
Okay, but in the world, Satan's working through what person?
Antichrist.
The Antichrist, do you believe, will be a literal man?
Yes,
a real person. So the rider is the Antichrist. So put that on your paper. He may not be actually riding on a horse. He might be in a white limousine. Or he might be riding on a tank. This is symbolism here. It appears to be positive and righteous. So now let's look at the second seal. What are some things there? What color is the second horse?
What does that symbolize? There's a sword, we have authority, and we have war.
Bloodshed, that's why it's red. Shedding of blood. Follow the sequence then. Let's read the next section. The next living.
And I heard the third living creature say, "Come." I looked, and there was a black horse. Its rider held a pair of scales in his hand. I heard what sounded like a voice coming from among the 4 living creatures, which said, "A fourth week for a day of wages, and 3/4 of barley for a day's wages. But do not damage the olive trees and the vineyards."
What does all this mean about the scales? What do you think of when you think of scales? Justice or injustice? Something's going to be measured here. So what is being measured? Go on and look at those following verses.
A loaf of bread, oil.
Let's look at that. Now, my edition says a loaf of wheat bread, 1 loaf, or 3 loaves of barley bread. Now, what does that tell you? Do you know anything about wheat and barley? Which is more valuable?
Wheat. In those days, what did they do with barley? Who ate the barley? Animals and poor people. So now that tells us something. Now what else? For a day's wages or pay. What is that telling us? What is the economy going to be like?
Well, mine says a loaf of bread for $20.
It's going to be expensive.
Yeah.
A day's wages back then. Inflation. A bad economy. Well, what happens in war? Things start destroying, doesn't it? Because there's scarcity and people start hoarding. But then it says, don't touch. Some of you might say something else. Mine says, don't waste the olive oil and the wine. What does yours say?
Harm.
Harm.
Damage.
Touch.
It says there is no olive oil or wine.
Yeah, that's what mine says too.
There is no olive oil or wine.
That is kind of a loose translation. But it gets at the idea. Can you get it? We got the wheat, the bread, and the wheat and barley here, trying to show that it's going to be expensive to get your daily sustenance for food. What is the olive oil and the wine symbolic of? What do you need to live on? The wine?
Water,
no. No, that's what?
That's a luxury.
Luxuries.
Yeah.
Basic needs and luxuries. That's what it's saying. But what about this now? The basic needs are expensive, but what's the luxuries? Don't touch, don't, whatever, not available. What it's really saying is you're not going to be able to afford it. You're not going to have it. Sure, some people will, but the basic person will not be, may not even be available.
Starvation then?
Yes. We'll see that coming up in the next seal. What's the answer to the question? What does it mean? It means high inflation and scarcity of products. It's going to take all you have just to sustain your food, all your finances, the average person. How about seal four?
I am broken with the fourth seal, and I heard the fourth living creature say, come. I looked, and there was a pale-colored horse. Its rider was named Death and Hades, and followed close behind. They were given authority over the fourth of the earth to kill by means of war, famine, disease, and wild animals.
What color is this horse?
Pale.
They may have Asher, Ashen, Ashen. When somebody looks sick, what color are they? Right. God knows that, doesn't he? So we have war. We have this knight and charming army showing up, but all of a sudden he goes to war, and we got bloodshed, which results in
sickness and death.
Sickness, death, and a poor economy. Now, 1/4, what's that? I'll go in more detail at some point. But at the time we live now, there are about how many people on the earth? We're getting very close to what? 8 billion. So divide by 4, you lost 2 billion people in this whole process during the time of the sealed judgments. Given authority, what does that mean?
Authority to kill.
Right, from who? Who do you get the authority from? In a sense. Who has control of life and death? God, right. Remember Job? Satan said, well, you've got to have your protection around him. So God said, well, I'll lift it, but you can't take his life. So in other words, God is saying, I'm not going to intervene, I'm just going to back away. That's what he's saying, isn't it? Dreadful, dreadful time. Of course, famine and disease, all that follows war. How about the next seal, verse 7?
Okay, then the Lamb broke open the fifth seal. Is that what you want? I saw underneath the altar the souls of those who had been killed because they had proclaimed God's word and had been faithful in their prophecy. They shouted in a loud voice, Almighty Lord, holy and true, how long will it be until you judge the people on earth and punish them for killing us? Each of them was given a white robe, and they were told to rest a little while longer, until the complete number of their fellow servants and brothers were killed as they had been.
Now somebody tell us what it means. Where is the setting? And who are the characters? Is this on the earth or in heaven?
Is it in heaven where they're being judged?
Yes, it's pictured in heaven. That's true. And who are the people involved?
The martyrs.
Martyr. How do you define martyr?
People that have died for their faith, I guess.
Yeah, you could be a martyr for Satan too. I mean, but it's basically it means you died for a cause. You stood up and were willing to pay the price. In other words, you wouldn't change your belief. During the tribulation, who are the martyrs?
Died for Christ.
Right, those that became Christians and were done away with the Antichrist. Absolutely. And we're in this first 3.5 years now. Most of the people who come to Christ during this 3.5 years are going to be killed. And we'll see later when they don't take the sign of the beast, in other words, the Antichrist, they can't buy and sell.
How many will be killed? Half, do you think?
Well, a fourth of the earth, which is 2 billion. This is not what we're talking about. Satan was, they were able to kill. Other than the 144,000 that we'll read about in chapter 7. But these people will die, and of course, after death, absent from the body, present with the Lord. If you believe in the pre-tribulation rapture, you're already in heaven, you're going to see these people coming up from the tribulation. Is this figurative now? I don't think they're literally under the altar. And we don't really have an altar in a sense in heaven like that. But let's go back into the Old Testament now and follow it up through history. What took place at the altar?
Sacrifice.
An animal was put to death and the blood over the altar. So this is symbolic of people being sacrificed because of their belief in God and not willing to denounce God. I mean, what if somebody came in here with a bunch of guns and said, I want you to denounce the word of God. I want you to spit on the Bible, throw it in the fire, do whatever else, or I'm going to shoot you. How many of us would say, then you'll have to shoot me? If you made that choice now, I'll guarantee you're going to have a problem under pressure.
That happened in the Columbine situation in Colorado.
Yes, it did. This is true. This is true. A guy dressed up like the devil on Halloween, years and years ago, and he was driving through the countryside, and his car broke down, and he saw this light off in the distance, and it was a country church having a church service. He forgot he was dressed up like the devil. He walks in and is going to ask if he can get some help. And he walked in, and people started jumping out windows and going outdoors and everything else. This old lady came up to him, and you know what she said? I just want you to know I've been on your side all the time.
Oh.
Can you believe that?
Oh, no.
Yeah. The altar is a symbolic thing. They paid a price of sacrifice. You heard this in a science school, and I don't think you should do this, but I thought this little girl was fantastic. The teacher said, if the devil came knocking on the door, what would you do? You know what she said? I would have Jesus answer the door.
Right.
Oh. So those people should not have been afraid, should they? No. Do we understand that seal then? What is under the altar and all this symbolic of? They were given white robes, so what does that symbolize? That's your eternal clothing. They were received by the Lord. But they cried out for what?
Justice,
right. When are you going to take care of those people that were killing us and all that stuff? And what does the Lord say?
Rest for a little while longer.
Until
the servants and their brethren who were to be killed.
There are other people going to be saved and killed. In other words, just hang in there because there are other people coming. Mm-hmm. We get impatient sometimes, right? But it's certainly understandable they would cry out for vengeance, yes, that the Lord would take the vengeance. The next seal.
And I saw the Lamb break open the sixth seal. There was a violent earthquake, and the sun became black, like coarse black cloth, and the moon turned completely red like blood. The stars fell down to the earth like unripe figs falling from a tree, but a strong wind shakes it. The sky disappeared like a scroll being rolled up, and every mountain and island was moving from its place. Then the kings and the earth, the rulers and the military chiefs, the rich and the powerful, and all other men, slave and free, hid themselves in caves and under rocks on the mountains. They called out to the mountains and to the rocks, "Fall on us and hide us from the eyes of the one who sits on the throne and from the anger of the Lamb. The terrible day of their anger is here, and who can stand up against it?"
Let's take the symbolism now. What happened to the sun? It was darkened.
Oh, dark.
Yeah, you couldn't see. It was dark. The moon appeared to be red like blood. And what happened to the stars?
Disappeared.
You think they literally would fall, or the fact you wouldn't be able to see them? Put all that three together, and what is it saying? Something happened to block the vision. Something clouded the skies. Well, your answer is coming up. So what happened? There was something like a what? What kind of a cloud? What's the shape of it? What is a mushroom cloud? For John, he didn't know, but he saw a what? An atomic bomb going off. Isn't that what would happen with an atomic bomb? It creates all this dust up in the atmosphere, and it would block out the sun and the moon and everything, and some of that could be reddish in color. Give that color to the moon. I think this is showing that it's going to be an atomic war. Talked about their flesh rotting. Well, if you've ever seen what happens, the fireball just burns it right off. What else do we have? Sky rolled up like a scroll. That's another way of putting it, like a scroll. Now, all the mountains and the islands disappeared. That just means there's a lot of destruction in the topography, so it's probably pretty intense. You know, all this nuclear stuff that's building up is going to be used eventually, isn't it? Now, all the people, what?
Power and wealth.
What does that mean? No matter who they were, powerful, wealthy, or whatever, they were doing what?
Hiding
from what? In a sense, they're hiding from the Lord.
We studied that in one of the minor prophets just recently.
Exactly.
Which one it was.
I'm not making a lot of cross references where we'd never get through Revelation. Now, they wanted to be what? Hid from the one who sits on the throne. Well, who is this? Right. They identify, and from the wrath of the Lamb. So they begin to realize that God's intervening. And then the great day of their what? Wrath has come. And who will survive? That's the question. That's the question. And who will survive? And God will answer that. When we get into the next chapter, He will answer who will survive. There will be survivors.